Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them to Psalm chapter 40, the Psalms, the 40th Psalm. And you're going to notice when we read this Psalm in just a moment, you're going to notice if you can remember some of the lyrics of the song we just sang, the song that we sang right before this, the song that we're going to sing after the message. So they go so well with this passage of Scripture. So I want to thank the youth praise team and Tammy for putting those songs together and for being prepared and leading us in worship through song this morning. You know, as I prepare for my sabbatical this summer with the primary purpose of spiritual growth and renewal, consider what needs to be the priority for something like that. It's the Word of God and prayer, right? More than anything else. And really, that's already my primary priority as a pastor. For my role as a pastor is spending time in the Word and focusing on prayer. But really, if you think about it, that's really the primary purpose for all of us as followers of Jesus, isn't it? Being grounded and rooted in the Word of God and walking in prayer. And as I go into this this sabbatical, I'm going to continually be asking myself, not what should I preach, which is so often on my mind, but rather what do I need to hear? And I want to put that same challenge forth before you this morning. One of the reasons I decided to preach this message this morning was I felt like it was something that would be good for me to kind of think through as I go into this sabbatical this summer, but also something that I hope we're always asking ourselves. What do I need to hear? Don't ask yourself so much, what does so-and-so need to hear? You ever go through a sermon and think that, oh, I wish so-and-so was here right now. They need to be listening to this. No, I don't want you to think, what does so-and-so need to hear? I want you to think, what do I need to hear? So I want to challenge you this morning to let turning the page of God's Word be that daily commitment for you. And how can you do better to make sure that you're daily turning the page of God's Word, prioritizing time in God's Word? Seek God by knowing His Word and ask for His help to obey His Word, to walk according to His Word. Only then can you be a disciple who makes disciples. We do need to think about, okay, how can I communicate this to others? That's always should be on our mind too. But we're not going to be able to do it unless we're first examining our own hearts, making sure that we're walking with Him. You know, it's really difficult for me a lot of times, and I'll admit this, it's difficult for me to read my Bible without thinking, okay, how can I teach this to someone else? How can I preach this? But this summer, I'm going to be reading my Bible a lot without preaching on any Sundays. I'm not going to preach on any Sundays this summer. And so I'm going to be reading my Bible without the idea of, okay, how does this turn into a sermon? It's really difficult for me a lot of times to sit in our worship services and truly focus on worship like I should be doing, without thinking, okay, this next transition, is this going to go smoothly so that people aren't distracted? Is this going to go well? Or without noticing, oh look, so-and-so is here. I need to make sure that I go and, did somebody greet them? I need to go talk to them. Or I need to try to catch that person before they leave. Or I can't forget to make this announcement or pray for this request. But I'll be attending various church services this summer at different places, and I'll be sitting in pews like you're doing right now, and I'll be asking myself that question, how does God want me to respond to Him? I need to be asking myself that daily, but in my foolish, sinful distractions oftentimes, I fail. I get distracted. I don't focus like I should be doing. But what if we all asked ourselves regularly, what does God want me to hear today? And what if we went to His Word for those answers? What if we really sought the Lord through His Word, and that was a daily commitment and priority, not just as we gather on Sunday mornings, but in every day? And so let's read Psalm chapter 40. It's on the screen behind me if you don't have your Bibles, but I'd encourage you to follow along, whether you turn them on or open them up, to Psalm chapter 40, beginning in verse 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. How happy is the man who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord, my God, You have done many things. Your wonderful works and Your plans for us, none can compare with You. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. You do not delight in sacrifice and offering. You open my ears to listen. You do not ask for a whole burnt offering or a sin offering. Then I said, see, I have come. It is written about me in the volume of the scroll. But which, by the way, verses 6 and 7, that might be a reference or a messianic prophecy that's pointing forward to Jesus, right? So verse 8, I delight to do your will, my God. Your instruction resides within me. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed, as you know, Lord. I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. Lord, do not withhold your compassion from me. Your constant love and truth will always guard me. For troubles without number have surrounded me. My sins have overtaken me. I am unable to see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my courage leaves me. Lord, be pleased to deliver me. Hurry to help me, Lord. Let those who seek to take my life be disgraced and confounded. Let those who wish them harm be driven back and humiliated. Let those who say to me, aha, aha, be horrified because of their shame. Let all who seek to you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continually say, the Lord is great. I am afflicted and needy. The Lord thinks of me. You are my help and my deliverer, my God. Do not delay. Father, please help us this morning to have the same heart that David has as he wrote this psalm, that we have a heart that seeks after you, that knows our need for you, that cries out to you for help, knowing that we are never beyond our need for your grace and your mercy and your kindness and your goodness and your forgiveness. So, Father, convict our hearts this morning of what needs to change in our everyday lives so that we can follow you faithfully. Father, I thank you that you are a God who saves, that you are a God who delivers, that you are a God who reveals yourself, and you've done so specifically through your word. So give us the understanding to see it this morning, to understand it, to be able to apply it rightly to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So turning the page, as we talk about that this morning, committing ourselves to the word of God as we head into summer, you know, and even if there's no major transition coming up for you, maybe it's just, okay, school ended this past week and summer's here. You know, I'm getting ready for this 10-week sabbatical, and so that's kind of a big transition for me. And so I'm thinking through this, okay, how can I make the most out of this time, this gift that the church is giving me to really focus on my personal spiritual growth and being renewed and being restored in a way that will help me to be a better pastor, a better husband, a better dad. But let's all realize and commit and agree this morning, we want to be page turners of God's word every day, constantly turning those pages, digesting and diving into God's word in such a way that it transforms us and that our lives are focused on that. And so that's my purpose this morning as we go through this, is that you will prioritize the habit of continually seeking God in his word. Let's let this be a daily commitment. Seek God by knowing his word and asking for his help to follow his word. Seeking him by the truths of his word, that's really the only way to be certain that you're seeking him rightly, that you're knowing him truly. Because we could say, oh, I feel like I know God, or I get this, or I understand this, but unless it's according to the word, you might be misled, where our own hearts deceive us so often. And so this is how we know that we're following God according to who he is and who he's revealed himself to be and how we are to respond to him. And so I want to talk about three ways to grow in your commitment to God and his word. How can we do this? Turning the page of God's word daily should impact our lives. And I really believe that if you're daily in the word of God, it will impact your life in such a way that you will not be able to forget that others will notice. It will impact your life if you're prioritizing him, if you're seeking him, if you're honoring him. And so this commitment comes when you first and foremost wait and worship. We see this in the first few verses here. You know, waiting, especially with patience, is hard. Why is that? Because we're sinners, right? I mean, waiting is not easy for anybody. You know, a lot of you come to our Wednesday evening meals and activities, and why is it, if we were honest with ourselves, and not just on Wednesday nights, but really anytime there's a big meal, a big kind of party or festivity where we get all this good food, we would have to admit that we want to be towards the front of the line to get supper, don't we? Deep down, I mean, whether we do it or not, that's what we want. And so I remember one time, though, when I was, this was several months ago, I was last in line on Wednesday night, and there were a lot of people there, a lot of food, but the food, especially the dessert, was going fast. And if you know me, that's like a nightmare. When I'm looking at the dessert, and I'm like, you know, I'm starting to get shakes thinking I might not get a piece. But then something magical happened. For some glorious reason, our amazing kitchen volunteers had set aside a Judy Borman dessert. And it wasn't until everyone else was through the line that they set that dessert out. And I was like, cobbler, cobbler, hallelujah. I mean, I felt like there was a new song on my heart, and I had to sing it. I was so excited. Now, think about that. Do you think that I was disappointed at that moment that I had to wait? Absolutely not. In fact, if I had known that that cobbler was a-coming, I would have gladly waited, and I would have waited patiently. There would have been no problems in my mind or heart for waiting, because I would have known what was to come. I would have known that that was coming out. But you know, the reality is, if you know and are committed to the Lord, if you know the promises of His Word, you'll gladly wait for Him. You'll gladly wait for His perfect plan and His purpose for your life. You'll gladly wait for His timing. Wait for and trust in His timing. Trust His plan. Trust His provision. When you do, you'll see and experience a closer walk with Him and His miraculous provision in your life, pulling you out of that mud. I hope that a lot of you have heard Judy Borman's testimony about this psalm and how God used it to really grow her after her stroke back in 97. And I hope if you haven't heard that story, talk to her sometime. I can't do it justice. But what a great picture of understanding that sometimes things are not the way that we would draw them up. They're not the way that we would want them naturally. But God picks us up out of that mud. And the reality is that He does this for all of us when we put our faith in Him. You see, we've devastated our lives because of our sin. But He picks us up out of that mud. And what happens when He does that? Worship is the natural result. Look at verse 3 again. It's the desire of our hearts. It's the result of our waiting for the Lord and trusting Him and looking to Him and seeing His provision. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You see, worship is contagious. Worship is contagious in this sense. When you come to know the Lord, you have a new song in your mouth. People will notice that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Right? Are those new things evident in your life? Are you content and satisfied to wait on the Lord? Because we're not good at waiting apart from God's grace and help, are we? I mean, you have to teach that. Nobody naturally is just good at waiting. It has to be, it's a learned discipline. And it's what happens when we come to know the Lord. We're able to look to Him and trust Him in the midst of things that just don't make sense. And so are you devoted to Him in worship? Is that a priority that you're saying, you know what, I want my life to be a life of worship, walking with the Lord, prioritizing my relationship with Him? You know, you might want to, like I did that Wednesday night, you might want to sing praises when you get a delicious meal at home or in our fellowship hall. You might be excited and you might have a new song in your mouth that you're ready to sing out, even if that's not your personality. Maybe it's in your mind at the very least. But how much more so when you turn the page of God's Word, when you know His Word, when you experience His provision and His faithfulness and His goodness, how much more so does that song come to your heart and you want to worship Him? And so to grow in your commitment to God and His Word, wait and worship. Secondly, then, and we see this as we continue in verses 4 through 8, trust and obey. You want to be happy, right? Trust in the Lord. He says it right there in verse 4. How happy is the man who has put his trust in the Lord, who has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies, but his trust in the Lord. Don't turn to the garbage of the world. That's what he's talking about there at the end. You know, there's all these things that we might try to turn to. I'll find happiness if I do this, this will make me satisfied. Oh, this will fulfill me. But those are the lies of the world. Don't turn to those things. Trust in the Lord. Trust and obey His Word. Look at verse 5. There's so much obvious evidence. There's so much obvious goodness of the Lord. None of the world or none of what the rest of the options out there can offer, none can compare to this, to God, to what He gives us when we turn to Him. All the books in the world, they can't contain all that He's done and what He'll continue to do. And notice in verse 6 that God doesn't want our religious motions. He doesn't want us to just go through the motions. Like Robbie was talking about and Colin talked about in their testimonies. You know, there was a time where they just kind of did it to do it. You know, just kind of came. Okay, yeah, just going. I understand that totally because I did it for the first 20 years of my life. I mean, I was in church services every Sunday. I was in youth group every Wednesday night. but I was just going through the motions. That's not what God desires for us. Anybody can do that. Anybody can go through the motions. No, he wants our faith. He wants us to turn to him and trust him. He wants our obedience. As verses 7 and 8 say, can you also declare with David that you delight in doing God's will? I mean, can you say that with all your heart? I delight. I love to do God's will. I delight in doing what God desires for my life. Is that something that you can say with all sincerity? Do you delight in trusting and obeying him? Do you delight in his word? And if that's not possible unless his word is in your mind and in your heart. If you're not in his word, if you're not turning the page of God's word every day and getting to know what his word says, then how can you possibly delight in doing it? We have to know it first and ask for his help to obey it. And so if it's on your mind, if it's on your heart, then your life is it's going to be one of satisfaction and fulfillment because you're going to be doing what God created you to do. I want to take a quick poll here by a show of hands. Who in here, if you have a project with a whole bunch of steps and detailed instructions, kind of like a piece of furniture from IKEA, how many of you actually follow the directions? Raise your hand if you actually follow the directions. Raise them high. Man, not many of you. Okay, more than maybe so. It's not something to be ashamed of. Some of you are like, I mean, you're following the directions. It's okay. And especially some of the men in here are like, I don't need those directions. But if you don't follow directions, let me do another poll. Be honest now. If you don't follow directions, how many times, or has that ever happened where you wish you would have? Right? I mean, maybe more hands than that. We wish we would have. Putting that couch together was a little harder than I thought. IKEA, those Swedes must know what they're talking about. But so let's think of it this way. So hopefully most of you probably have followed the directions at some point or another. If those of you who have you ever followed directions? Everything turned out according to plan. Everything was just as the directions said. Did you ever wish you didn't follow the directions if it turned out as it said? No, of course not. Right? I mean, if you follow the directions and it turns out as the directions said and everything works the way it's supposed to, you're glad you followed the directions. You're not like, man, that was a waste of time. I shouldn't have done that. Why did I follow those directions? No, you're glad. Now, if they don't work, yeah, then you wish, okay, I should have figured something else out. But if things turn out the way that they're supposed to in the end, you're going to be satisfied. Folks, God's word is the only instructional book. It's the only set of directions that is perfect and able to satisfy our greatest needs. There is no other book or set of instructions for our lives like the Word of God. And you can look in all these other places, but it's only God's Word that will satisfy. Only God's Word will lead you to where you need to be. You see, if you follow God according to His Word, you will not be disappointed. You will never meet someone who says, you know, I sought the Lord with all my heart and I followed Him according to His Word, but it just didn't work out. No, you will not. I promise you, not because I can make the promise, because I have no authority to make such a promise, but God makes the promise and He never disappoints. His word alone will meet your greatest needs. His word gives life. And so to grow in your commitment to God and His word, wait and worship and trust and obey. Thirdly, then, proclaim and pray. Have you ever experienced how great it is to wait for the Lord, to worship the Lord, to trust the Lord, to obey the Lord? Have you ever experienced that? If so, tell the world. Tell the world. That's why we ask people when they get baptized to share their testimonies. Not because it's a thing that A, B, C, D, you have to do these things before you can get baptized. No, it's because what a great opportunity to tell people, why are you wanting to do this? What has Jesus done in your life? Tell the world. We need to get more and more comfortable telling the world what God is doing for us. Just like in verse 9, don't keep your mouth closed about him. Yes, keep it closed about yourself, but not about him. Sadly, too many people are good about opening their mouths about themselves or about other things that make them so happy, but not nearly enough about the Lord and what He has done. As verse 10 exemplifies, don't hide it, proclaim it. Share your testimony about what God has done. Remember, and I always tell people this, who's the hero of your testimony? It's not you, it's Jesus. He's the hero of the story. Make it all about Him. It shouldn't cause us to be fearful to talk about Him. He's the God who saves. So let's echo and sincerely live out the prayer that continues in verses 11 to 17. Just like the psalm began, it ends. If you think about it, it's almost like there's a bookend on this psalm of this waiting and praying, this trusting and depending on God. Because what does it mean to wait for him? It's to depend on God. What's it mean to pray to him? It's to depend on God. That's what waiting patiently and praying is all about. It's saying, you know what? I trust God. I trust him. So like we saw in verses 1 to 3, wait. And like we see in verses 11 and 17, pray. Just like David did. Pray for God. Look at some of the things he prays for. Pray for God's compassion. Pray for his love and truth. Pray for forgiveness and deliverance from your sins. Notice that before he prayed against his enemies, he prayed for help with his own sin. David had some wicked enemies, but what's he do first? He prays for help from his and deliverance and forgiveness of his own sins. We would all do well, wouldn't we, if we considered our own sin and despair before we looked at the sin and despair of others? Now, sure, if you have enemies that are seeking to destroy you, here's some good verses you can pray in verses 14 and 15. Pray this, by all means, pray this. First, examine your own heart, though. What are the sins that I need forgiveness from? But you know, these verses 14 and 15, we should certainly pray this on behalf of the unborn children and against those who wickedly try to justify murdering children when they're still in their mother's wombs. We should certainly pray this on behalf of our children and against anyone who would dare to commit mass murder in a school or anywhere else. Certainly, here you go. Here's a prayer to pray against them. We should certainly pray this on behalf of innocent men and women and children who are suffering at the hands of evil dictators in other parts of the world and pray this against those evil dictators. We have an example here that David gave for us how to pray. But you know, at the very least, we should especially be praying this against the ultimate enemies of Satan and sin and eternal death that we all deserve because of our sin that David started with here saying, God, my sin, it's greater than the number of hairs on my head. It's more than I can count. Pray that we all, just as verse 16 says, pray that we will seek God and rejoice and be glad in him. Pray that we will love his salvation, that we'll declare that he is great. That ought to be what we're doing. Pray and declare that you need and depend on the Lord, just like David did in verse 17. He declared his need for the Lord. It wasn't about him. You know, David accomplished a lot of things, but you know, if anyone understood our need for God, wasn't it David? Just think for a moment about David's life. You know, as a shepherd boy, David had to fend off lions and bears from killing him and his sheep. As a son with many brothers, his own father didn't even think of him when Samuel was looking for a new king to anoint. And instead, his dad offered up every other one of his brothers, but not David. Didn't even think, oh, I've got this other. No, not until he was asked, are you sure you don't have? Oh, yeah, there's that shepherd kid out in the field. Or as a teenager, or as a brother. How about just think as a brother, David went to bring his brother's food at the battle and was just asking some questions, and his brothers mocked him. And then in that same battle, as this teenage boy, he fought and killed a giant with that giant sword after he knocked over that giant with a little stone that he threw with a sling. As a faithful servant to King Saul after that, the king Saul tried to kill David again and again because he was jealous of David. And as a king and a warrior, think about David. He won many battles against armies that he shouldn't have been able to defeat. As a sinner, like the rest of us, as a sinner, David, he got a married woman pregnant, a woman who was married to someone else. He got her pregnant and then had her husband murdered, but then he experienced God's grace and forgiveness when he repented of his sins and turned to the Lord. As a king and as a father, David, one of his own sons, Absalom, tried to have him killed multiple times, tried to disgrace his father's name, tried to shame his family. His own son tried to dishonor him. And those are just some of the examples of the incredible diversity that David faced. David understood what it meant to pray. He understood what it meant to wait, what it meant to proclaim and trust and obey and worship the Lord. David understood that. So how about you? Are you in the Word enough? Are you in the Word enough? Are you reading the Psalms enough and reading the rest of God's Word enough to know how great it is to experience this kind of God that David got to experience? Remember, I said my purpose this morning is that you will prioritize the habit of continually seeking God in His Word. How is your personal daily devotional life? How is it? How about with your family? Time in the Word of God with your family, how is that? Will you pledge to do better today? Because let's all admit, we're not there yet. We can all do better. Every single one of us in this room can do better. Will you ask God for help? Just like David did in the psalm, will you ask for His help? Cry out to Him and say, you know what, God, I need help. I'm struggling with this. I need to do better with this. I need to, you know, better proclaim this to my kids or live this out with my coworkers or follow and obey you in this area that I've been, you know, kind of just going through the motions. Whatever it might be, maybe God's working in your heart right now, but will you ask for God's help to do better? Trust in the perfect Word of God. Trust in the perfect God who created the world. He created you. And remember, God doesn't make mistakes. The mess around us isn't because of God. It's because of us. Like David admitted in verse 12, we have to all admit that we are sinners, right? We're sinners, and our sin, the fall of humanity, that's the reason for all of the devastation in this world. What our country just went through this past week down in Texas, that's our fault. It's our sin that causes it. It's nothing else. It's our sin. It's my sin. It's your sin. It's the fall of humanity that causes these devastating things to happen. And so as a result of that, every one of us without exception, we deserve hell. That's what we deserve because of our sin. Because God is perfect and we're not. And yet praise God that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to rescue us from our sin. If you sincerely turn to Him and you surrender your life, you ask Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. Just like we heard in the stories this morning with Rocky and with Colin and with Robbie, that decision to put your faith in Jesus, not trusting yourself, not trusting your church attendance or your baptism or your family history or whatever it might be, but trusting in Jesus alone to save you. When you do that and you sincerely cry out to Him, then you receive this salvation, this forgiveness that only He can give. And then when you trust and turn to Jesus, He restores your relationship to God. And you have this promise, not just of that initial right relationship with God, but you have the promise of eternal restoration, when all things will be made new, when everything will be perfect again, just as God intended. And then you'll be able to say continually, like David said here, that we should all say, the Lord is great. The Lord is great. We need to recognize that now, but one day we will say it without fail. The Lord is great. You'll worship Him. And you'll proclaim Him as you continue to depend on Him. That'll be a desire that you'll proclaim Him. Do others see clear evidence in your life the Lord is first? Do they see that in your life? Do they see you and talk to you and get to know you and say, you know what? This person loves Jesus. This person is putting Jesus first. Do they know why that you're doing that? Do they know why? Not because you're special. It ought to be clear if they get to know you that the reason I put Jesus first is because of what He has done for me. Because the Lord is great. Not because I'm great, because the Lord is great. And so prioritize turning the page of God's Word every day, knowing Him more and more, honoring Him with your life. Let's make that a priority. Let's pray that God would help us to put Him first. Father, that is our prayer this morning. That turning the page of Your Word every day would be a priority in our lives. And not just to check it off the list, not to just check another box on our to-do list and say, I read the Bible this morning, but rather because we want to know You more. Because we want to know how can we have a right relationship with You. Because we want to know how can we follow You and please You and honor You and glorify You and point others to You. How can we be better husbands, better wives, better fathers, better mothers, better brothers and sisters, better friends, better workers, better students, better athletes, better whatever it is that You've called us to and that You've given us the incredible privilege of doing and being, knowing that it's not because we're good enough or smart enough or strong enough or fast enough, but rather it's because of Your grace. It's because of Your mercy that we're even alive, let alone that we can do anything that would please You. So, Father, in the situations You've put us in our lives, in the relationships that You've given us, Father, help us to desire to point others to You and to live for You and to glorify You. And help us to recognize that we can't be who You've created us to be apart from Your saving grace, apart from what Jesus did for us on the cross, apart from trusting us, trusting in Him in his salvation. So, Father, for those who are here this morning who haven't yet made that decision to trust in Jesus, please give them the desire to do that right now in their hearts and minds, to cry out to you for forgiveness. And for those who have, Father, help us to put you first and to prioritize more and more seeking you through your word and living our lives for you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.